Our scripture reading today will come from the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Now, in your bulletins, there is an insert that I've placed in there. On one side is the outline of this morning's sermon, and then on the back is the scripture reading from Ephesians chapter 6. I've also included some other scripture readings there that I'll be referring to in the sermon from Ephesians. But this time, I'm just going to be reading Ephesians chapter 6, the verses 10 through 20. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given us by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. That's the reading of God's word today from Ephesians chapter 6. Remind you about the outline. If you flip that over, the sermon's outline today. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, we've come this morning to the last part of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the section by which the Apostle gives to the church in Ephesus and the church today his final rallying cry of the letter, to put on the full armor of God. And it's as if he's calling the church to be the army of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. And he is. And there's not much discussion in the commentaries as to why God inspired the Apostle Paul to include this here at the end of the letter to the Ephesians. Some say he's using the imagery of a soldier dressed up in full military battle gear to describe the Christian at war in the present world. There are some who have said it's because the letter to Ephesians is one of the prison epistles, which he wrote the letter from a prison in Rome. And so he uses the imagery in the letter at the end because as he was concluding the letter, he probably looked over at the Roman soldier guarding him. Then God inspired him to use the language, the image of a soldier, the one he saw, all dressed up in full battle gear, to describe the Christian living for God in this world. Well, that's a nice way to describe it. But we also know that Roman soldiers who were guarding the Apostle Paul in prison, as prison guards, were not likely all dressed up in full battle gear. So that's not the reason why he concludes with this language concerning a soldier and a Christian soldier. There are still others that say God inspired the Apostle Paul to use the military soldier imagery for the sake of teaching the children. In other words, what the Apostle Paul has to say in these verses is so important that even the youngest of children would be able to understand the battle gear imagery of how to live the Christian life. How many of us at one point in our lives didn't color a picture of a Christian soldier that the Apostle Paul describes in Ephesians 6, with all the weapons detailed and all the weapons colored differently to help us understand the battle gear a Christian must have? I know that I did that, and you probably did too. But what happens when the passage is taught that way? It's often then taught as sort of an individual soldier's battle. not a battle for an entire army of soldiers. In our sermon this morning, you'll see that the Apostle Paul has a much more in mind purpose than simply to get across that we as individual Christians are fighting a battle and need to be dressed up in full battle gear. But instead, he is speaking about a battle for all the members of the entire church. And why is that important? And why is it important, especially for today, in which the world we live in? Because in the COVID-19 world where we live, there has never been a time in which I and many of you can remember that the Church of Christ has been so divided and weakened over the mask and the vaccine mandates and whatever else it might be. And it doesn't matter what church denomination you've been a part of, whether it be liberal or conservative, churches all over the country are so divided today and continue to be divided over it that many people have not come back to church and are trying now to live as individual Christians. And that is exactly what the devil and the spiritual forces who rule over this present darkness want to accomplish. They want a divided church. They want a weakened church. They want individuals who don't go to church and worship on the Lord's Day and fellowship with other believers. That's why this last section of the letter to Ephesians, the letter of the Apostle Paul, is so important, as it ends with a rally cry, not just to individual Christians, but to the entire church today, to put on the full armor of God. And so let's begin today with a recognition that the book of Ephesians begins and ends with spiritual bookends. And what do we mean by spiritual bookends? As we come to the end of this God-inspired letter of the Apostle Paul, you can see that there are spiritual location bookends to the beginning and the end of the letter. A bookend is like when you have some books on your desk at home, and you have one bookend on one side and one on the other, and books in the middle. The bookends hold it together. And that's the way it is with the letter the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians. You can see in verse 10 of our text today, it begins with the word finally. And with that word finally, the Apostle Paul is signaling to the readers that the letter is coming to a conclusion. And as we have come to the conclusion of the letter, the final thing, the final bookend, the Apostle Paul wants the readers in Ephesus to know, he wants us to know, that they and us are in a battle, that they need to put on the full armor of God. It's not a battle against flesh and blood, verse 12, but a spiritual battle against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places that's being played out here on this earth. That's how the letter begins and ends, in the spiritual realms. But for the believers, there are two locations that the bookends show, a spiritual location and a physical location. Look again at the beginning bookend in chapter 1. I put it on the back of your outlines this morning again to remind you. The first bookend. In chapter 1, God inspires the Apostle Paul to begin his letter describing the position of all believers in the first bookend, Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. You see, the letter begins with the Apostle Paul describing the believer's spiritual position in Christ Jesus. When you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you've been blessed, he tells us, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Nothing's left out. And that salvation you have in Christ Jesus was because God chose you before the foundation of the world, that, he says, you should be holy and blameless before him. That's your position now. In love, he chose you to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. You have a relationship with God the Father in heaven. And so when it comes to the forces of evil still at work in this world, spiritually, you have nothing to fear. That's how he starts out the letter. You have nothing to fear because in Christ Jesus, the victory has already been won. It's already been given to you spiritually. Vertically in Christ Jesus, you stand holy and blameless before him. And you need to know that as you live in this world, heaven is not just a future hope. It is a future hope, but that's not the only thing, Paul tells us. It's not just, well, someday I'm going to go to heaven. It's a present reality for all believers in Christ Jesus. That's what he's letting you know in the first bookend. God chose you in Christ Jesus to be his adopted sons and daughters. No one or spiritual force of evil can take that salvation away from you. And as Christians, you need to live out your faith in this world from that perspective. From the perspective that Paul describes in the first bookend. That you're already saved. That you're already spiritually in the heavenly realms with every heavenly blessing. And you live with confidence knowing that salvation can never be taken away from you. And now at the end of the book, in the conclusion, the Apostle Paul is bringing us then to the last spiritual bookend describing the believer's life in this world. The last bookend on earth, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You see, the first bookend tells you you've won the victory in Christ spiritually. You're already in the heavenly realms, but you physically still live in this world. And as a member of the Church of Christ, the devil is, we're told in these verses, still scheming. What do I mean? Think about it this way. Think about what happens in a war when one country conquers another. And we know that in the news there's a battle going on right now. What if Russia were to win the battle against Ukraine, conquer the nation there? There would still be resistance against them in the country. The war may be over. It may be settled. They've conquered them. But there's still resistance. It would not be safe for the Russian soldiers to be in occupied territory because even though the war has been won, there's still danger. They could still be attacked unexpectedly. So did the Lord Jesus say by way of his death on the cross and his resurrection and his victory in ascension into heaven. He's won the war. Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated and he knows it. And as the Apostle Paul told us in the first bookend at the beginning of the letter, Christ Jesus has given us the victory spiritually in the heavenly realms. But now at the end of the letter, the second bookend, the apostle is letting us and the church know that even though the war has been won, the Lord Jesus is building his church in occupied territory. There's still danger. There's still sin and the forces of evil at work in the world to divide you and other believers. To attack their spiritual life and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesus, Satan did not want the believers to go to church and worship God, but he wanted them to go back to the temple of the false goddess Artemis and participate in the sexual immorality and the false goddess worship that was offered. Just as he doesn't want believers today to go to church. And even though the devil knows he's defeated, he's going to attack you and the Lord's church. And that is why you don't want to fight this battle as an individual Christian, but as part of an army of Christian soldiers, is the exhortation of the Apostle Paul, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he starts out verses 10 and 11 of this last bookend saying, finally be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Don't you see the point of the last bookend? In the last bookend, the apostle is calling the church on earth to put on the whole armor of God and go to battle. And why is he using that imagery? He's not drawing simply upon the imagery of the Roman soldier who happened to be standing there guarding him, and so he just used it. He's not using the imagery because it would be an easy way to teach children someday about their own individual spiritual lives, although it's useful for that too. But he is using the imagery of a soldier at battle because he is drawing from it what took place in the Old Testament shadow battles. Now, what do you mean by that? Do you remember how in the Old Testament the people of Israel had an army for the Lord? That in the Old Testament the army was a shadow of what was to come in the new? In the book of Exodus, we read how God delivered his covenant people from the land of Egypt, from the land of slavery. We read how God delivered them by the blood of the Passover lamb, a lamb that was put to death, whose blood was sprinkled on the doorpost so that the people could be delivered from the land of Egypt and the angel of death would pass by. In 1 Corinthians 10, we're told that when they went through the Red Sea, they were baptized into the Red Sea. And then Moses led them through the wilderness to the land of their inheritance, the promised land of Canaan. And when the spies went out to spy out the land and they came back with a fearful report, the people rebelled against God. They went into the wilderness for 40 more years, and Moses could not lead them into the land. But Joshua, whose name means Savior, led them. He led the soldiers of God into the earthly battle against the earthly enemies to conquer the land of their inheritance. And now in the book of Ephesians, God inspired the Apostle Paul to pick up on that Old Testament shadow imagery of an army of soldiers at war to conquer the land, to describe the New Testament battle reality for today. On the back of your outlines, I put again from Ephesians chapter 2 to remind you of where you and all believers begin. The verse reads, "And you were dead in your trespasses, in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, and the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." You see, for the New Testament believer in Christ, the Apostle Paul is reminding us of the slavery we once were in. The Ephesian believers and all the believers in the Church of Christ today were enslaved and dead in their trespasses and sins. They followed the prince and the power of the air, who's still at work in the sons of disobedience on earth today. He has his earthly cohorts at work, the sons of disobedience, even today. But in Christ Jesus, what did God do? He goes on in verses 4 and 6. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You see, as God delivered his Old Testament people Israel from the land of slavery by the blood of the Passover lamb, God has in Christ Jesus, his Son, given us the once-for-all Passover lamb, delivering us from slavery to sin and death. As believers, we've been baptized into his death and resurrection. In Ephesians 2, God inspired the Apostle Paul to remind us that in Christ Jesus, God has made us alive. He's raised us up with him. He's seated us with him victoriously and spiritually in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The war has been won. But at the end of the letter, he reminds us, we're not in heaven yet. We still live in this present darkness in this world. The war's been won, but we still live in occupied territory. And the forces of evil are present. There's danger, the threat of attack all around you. The battle is fought where? In the routines of your daily life on earth. And that's why the Apostle Paul picks up on this Old Testament imagery. It's why he concludes in the final bookend with an army of soldiers fighting. Verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now remember what happened when the Israelites entered the promised land. They conquered Jericho, and when God supernaturally brought the walls down, and they conquered the city. But in the next city, in Ai, in Acts chapter, in Joshua chapter 7, when the Lord was not with them, the army was defeated by a lesser foe. They were defeated because they were not strong in the Lord. And so in this bookend, these last verses, the Apostle Paul is reminding believers then, he's reminding believers of today, that they need to be faithful soldiers of the Lord. And he goes on to describe then in those verses what a faithful soldier is. First, a faithful soldier of Christ knows that the armor is not his own strength, but the armor is God's armor. Listen again to verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You're not strong in your own strength, but in the Lord, you find your strength for the spiritual battles you face in this world, and it's the strength of the resurrection of Christ's might. You cannot fight the spiritual forces of evil in your own strength. You must do it in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must do it in the resurrection victory power of Christ at work in your heart and lives, and you'll always, if you have that, be able to find your hope, your strength. If you fight it in your own strength, you will always be defeated against the forces, spiritual forces of evil. I didn't put it in your outlines this morning, but in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 18, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward those who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him with the right hand, at the right hand in the heavenly places. The supernatural, immeasurable greatness of the power of Christ's resurrection is given to believers. It's yours. And that's why you need it for this battle. Because in verse 11 and 12, he describes the character then of the enemy that you face. Again, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What kinds of schemes is he talking about? What is the devil scheming to do? The Apostle Paul described it earlier in chapter 4. Listen again to Ephesians 4, 25 and 27. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. You see, the devil is at work in falsehood. He wants people to be divided, angry with one another, because he knows that if they're together, they're stronger. And that's the kind of scheming he is at work doing. In verse 12, he goes on, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As you look around you each day, it's so easy to start to think, well, we are wrestling against flesh and blood. It seems that enemy we face in this world are the people we see doing evil things or allowing or encouraging evil things. It's so easy to look around and think it's that way. But in chapter 12, or verse 12, the apostle reminds us, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, and the cosmic powers over this present darkness. And you can't fight those forces with lawyers, with politics, or no matter how much money you have. You can't fight those forces with flesh and blood. In this battle, the Apostle Paul is reminding us, you can't fight with human weapons. You need spiritual weapons to be at war in this fight. He describes it there as a wrestling match which may take all your energy, it may take great strain to accomplish or to defeat your opponent. You see, the Apostle Paul wants you to know and understand, as soldiers of Christ, the character of the enemy you face. In a spiritual conflict, it is a spiritual battle that you are engaged. It's against the rulers, authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and yes, Satan has his cohorts in this world. Men who belong to the darkness, and through the spiritual forces at work for him on earth, they bring harm. And so in verse 13, he repeats the call to the church a second time. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. You see, that's the goal, to stand firm. You see how he repeats a second time, put on the full armor of God? He goes on to say why, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What is the evil day? Some of the commentators think the evil day that the Apostle Paul is referring to is an evil day in the future. But the evil day is not just meant to be future. It's here even now. Does it seem to you like we live in an evil day? The evil day the Apostle Paul refers to is more than just a future evil day, but it is a present evil that is here even now. And so how does verse 13 end? And having done all, to stand firm. That's the goal. That's the hope of any Christian, that you will be able in the day and days of evil stand firm against all the spiritual attacks that are thrown at you, that having done all, you will hold your ground and stand firm in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you stand firm in the midst of all this spiritual warfare? Well, you don't stand firm as an individual, just reading your Bible and praying in your own home. But you stand firm as Christian soldiers who go to church and worship with other believers. And when you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and together in church you engage in the means of grace, the preaching and teaching of God's Word, the sacraments and prayer, God's grace, God's strength comes to you. He arms you. He equips you so that in the midst of the spiritual attacks you face, you may stand firm and identify with the people of God on earth. As the apostle concludes, he goes on to give a description of the armor and weapons that then comes to you. Verse 14, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, that's God's word of truth around you, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's the righteousness of Christ that's been given to you, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, again, the word of God, the gospel of peace, willing to share it with others. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil ones, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see how many times the Word of God is put forth as part of the military armor and battle gear? Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. The battle armor of the Christian soldier is the Word of God and a means of grace. The Apostle Paul, yes, at the end of this letter, is giving you a call to arms, a call to battle, a call to be prepared so that you may stand firm as believers in Christ. God has called you today to take up those means of grace and find your strength as a Christian soldier in Him. That is our spiritual warfare. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you today for the letter to Ephesians, which you speak to us in your word, and by which you remind us, Lord, of how you have provided for us for the spiritual battles in this world. Lord, help us to remember each day that our hope is not found in our own efforts, but our hope is found in what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. We are thankful that the weapons he fought with have now been given unto us. We pray, Lord, that as we think about your word, Lord, as we go to you in our prayers, as we go to worship you on the Lord's day, we would find strength against the spiritual attacks that come our way. Lord, help us, remind us to keep our focus on the heavenly salvation, which is already ours. Lord, as we look around us in this present darkness, we get discouraged. Lord, as we suffer attacks in the occupied territory, Father, we can become discouraged. But Lord, our hope is always in you. Our hope is in the Savior who's won the victory for us. Help us each day to live our lives for Him. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.